Good morning, Bethany family.
Good morning.
I was going to tell Pam it's almost cruel to have that picture up there that she just had of the ocean rolling in and out, but it's just very peaceful, isn't it? How wonderful it is that we are able to gather and worship a holy God. May we be refreshed and renewed by our worship today. If you're visiting, we warmly welcome you, and we hope that you will return soon. You know, our first beloved hymn today is Holy, 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 written almost 200 years ago. It proclaims the greatness of God, who was and is and evermore will be. Please stand with me to sing hymn number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. Welcome again, Russell Heinrich, and I apologize.
Pam,
we're so happy to have you as well. That's nice that you come to support.
She thought you were talking about her putting the picture.
Oh, okay. Well, a different Pam. But we're so happy to have you both this morning. It's always a joy to have Russell with us, and we look forward to his teaching. Thank you very much for being here today, both of you. What is wonderful about some of our new contemporary Christian music is that a composer will take an older hymn and they'll give it a little bit of a twist with a different sound that breathes new life and new meaning into the message of the song. And that's what the next song does. What a friend we have in Jesus. So feel free to stomp your feet, clap your hands, or even get out in the aisle and dance. Now, wouldn't that be something? All right, here we go. What a friend.
Everybody has trials and temptation.
Everybody has heartbreak, isolation.
We can lay our burdens down. lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's to where my sins are gone. I can place on every horizon, and forever and ever his heart is my home. Everybody has fears, everybody got worries.
This past week. It's been really quirky for June, hasn't it? And with that, it seemed that the mountains and the hills and the trees, all of creation was just so clear and crisp and beautiful. Do you agree? It was just gorgeous. And maybe it's because I'm a farm girl, but I get so filled with joy looking at God's creation. The sun shining on the mountains when it's so clear like it was this week. A cornfield leaping out of the ground, lush green pastures that are dotted with slick black cows, and that are resting in the coolness, and even a donkey that's braying at 3:30 in the morning. I apologize to Becky and Chuck McCarty because our two donkeys are right behind their house, and sometimes they get their times mixed up with their speaking. But God's goodness is all around us, in his creation, in his people, in us, in his plan of redeeming this broken world. He is faithful. He is faithful, isn't he? May we rest in his promises and recognize his faithfulness and sing of the goodness of God. Let this song be our prayer this morning. The goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of love your voice. You have led me through the fire and in darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
I want to as before we go into our time of greeting, I want to let you know that our own Faith Lucas Hernandez is going to be singing a special number for us after the sermon. And Faith, thank you so much for doing that. That is such a blessing to us. You know, it's so wonderful when our youth grow up and they go to other places and then they come back and we can have special moments like these. And so we are so looking forward, and you're going to be, I heard her rehearsing this morning, you're going to be so, so very blessed by that. But let's rejoice now in a time of meeting and greeting one another, which will be followed by children's moments, which will come to us with Julie Ritchie, who brought her suitcase with her today. So we're excited about anticipating what that's all about. So let's stand and meet and greet one another.
All right, kids, you're either coming up or sitting down. Woo! Oh, we got some rebels. Good morning. How are we doing? I promise I'm not as scary as I sound. It's only grown-ups that I fuss at. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, it's good to see you here. I am so excited. Were you at the meeting? No? You missed the... Oh, no. Well, I am not very good at taking notes about meetings, but I'll try here. Let's see. It was Joshua. Joshua held the meeting. Moses started it, and then he handed it off to Joshua. And so here's the deal. He told me that we have made it. 40 years we have been walking around in the wilderness. Now, you guys can't appreciate that because you're just little, you know, you're not 40 yet. Anybody here 40? No? You're 40? Okay, close. Okay. We've got a few folks out here that understand that wandering around after Moses for 40 years gets a little old, right? I mean, you know, we probably, it was well-deserved respite, but, you know, here we are. They have told us we have made it. We get to have a home. Isn't that exciting? Ugh, you guys are a tough crowd. Okay, so the thing he said, though, that made me a little nervous, he said that we have to be courageous and strong. Is that good news, do you think? Courageous and strong? What does it mean to be courageous? Brave? Brave sounds. Does brave sound like a good word? Okay, so I was thinking about that, and I was, like, trying to plan, right? Because if I'm going to have to be courageous and strong, then maybe I should get ready for that. So I like to overthink think things just a little bit. So anyway, I've got books. This one's called Fearless. This one's called Discover the Power Within You. But I'm afraid I don't really have time to do all this homework. You know what I mean? It takes a while to read books, doesn't it? Okay. So let's skip the courageous part. Let's go straight to the strong. I bet I can be strong. What do you need to do to be strong?
Work out.
It just so happens that for 40 years, I know this may seem insane to you, but for 40 years, whew, that smells a little bit bad. It's been 40 years. He did keep all of our stuff in good shape for us. So I figure, how long do you think till I can be strong? Is that enough? No. Oh, crap. So what are you thinking? You know, a day of doing this?
No.
No? Hey, he says we're moving into the area soon. And okay, so I've got to have a routine, but is this going to be ready by next week when we have to go? I mean, just a couple days, right? And then I should be strong? You think? No. Oh, dear. Okay, so if he didn't mean that, let's see what else he meant. Maybe I missed something. Sometimes notes are long and boring. Oh, okay. He says, do not be afraid or terrified. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so we can skip all the reading and the exercising because the Lord your God goes before you. He will never leave you or forsake you. So if I don't have to exercise or study, what do I have to do to be strong and courageous? Oh, he's just updating my notes. If God's going to be with me, then what do I have to have? Ooh, besides, I've got my Bible, and see, I've got bookmarks in it, but we just said reading wasn't quite there. So what do I have to do? You don't know? You guys can't help me? 40 years in the desert, and you haven't learned anything? Oh. All right, well, this is what we have to do. We have to have faith, and we have to trust. And if God's going to be with us, then he's going to tell us what to do when we have to do it. And he even told Joshua he's going to tell us where we're going to live and what we're going to do when we get there. So who do we have to listen to? God. How do you listen to God? You what? Anybody else? How do you guys listen to God? No? If you're really, really quiet, do you sometimes hear him talking to your heart and telling you things to do? What do we call that when we're really, really quiet talking to God? Begins with a P.
Praying.
Praying. Very good. So as we move forward through sometimes scary situations, when somebody tells us we have to be strong and courageous, what that really means is we don't have to lift weights or read books. What we really have to do is sit down and pray and listen to what God's telling us to do, and he will take care of us every step of the way. Okay? All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear Lord, sometimes as we move into new situations, we get nervous. It's exciting. And it's a little sad. We heard today that Moses won't be going with us. And we're a little scared. But we know that if we listen to you, if we stop and we pray and we talk to you, that you will be there with us and that you will walk with us every step of the way. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And you have a great day.
Okay, our scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapters 31, verses 1 through 3, 7 through 8, 14b through 15, and verse 23. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to get out, and the Lord has told me, 'You shall not cross over this Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua also will cross over before you, as the Lord promised." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with his people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." The Lord said to Moses, "Your time to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, so that I may commission him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud stood at the entrance to the tent.
Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and bold, for you shall bring the Israelites to the land that I promised them. I will be with you."
You'll forgive me for just a moment. I'm going to take his jacket off because it's just, you know, it's one of those things you just try to look the part in an afterthought like that. Which, that's interesting because the last time I was with you all, we were actually trying to figure out how in the world we were going to pull off a worship service because the first two Sundays, everything was fine. Then they had this impending blizzard that was going to come in. And then the next Sunday, another round of snow that was coming. So we went from my tenure with you all in coming to preach to you has gone from snow to 90 degrees. So just kind of we'll muddle on through with all of that. So, but I appreciate the offer and the opportunity to be with you here again. I know this is... this is a period of transition. And you who are United Methodists throughout your lifetime, you have done this many a time. And so as someone who has been a part of the process, I felt like, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to share a sermon that I preached 10 years ago to the congregation as I was getting ready to prepare to move. And so I hope that it will help inform you as your new pastor comes in to fill the pulpit. So just listen to these words and think about Moses and Joshua and the millions of people as they prepare to go and cross over that river Jordan. But I begin with the concept and the idea of a relay race. And several years ago, while in elementary school, my daughter Nicole, and Coach Metcalf knows Nicole very well, unfortunately, or fortunately, however, he may still be traumatized, I'm not sure. But anyway, Nicole and three of her classmates went and participated in a track and field event that Hershey puts on. And they won the local race. And because of that, they qualified to go to the next level. And so Nicole and Amanda Fitzgerald, Lauren Landrum, and I think Megan Huffman, they were the ones who were in this track team. And so Coach Stewart from over at Clamore, he worked with them. If school was out, and so that we would, you know, bring the girls and they would work on, you know, handing off the baton and how they would start and all of these things. And so they worked hard at it, and they went to the next qualifying meet. And they did well enough that they got to go to the state meet. I'm going to go ahead and qualify it now. They were the only team at their age level. But they won! And so, again, after qualifying, they come back and they start practicing. Coach Stewart was working with them and everything like that. But unfortunately, and here's one of the reasons why I really think about this, Coach Stewart was going on vacation the week that this state meet was going to take place. So he couldn't be there. But he worked really hard with them, and so myself and the other parents were there to cheer them on. And so the girls got out there on the track, and they're all ready. They're getting warmed up. And in this state meet, their competition was a club team. Now, if you know anything about whether it's travel ball, AAU basketball, all these things, when you get to that kind of a level, these kids take it very serious. Their coaches are very serious. Their training is that, training. And so part of it is the mind starts seeing these kids who come in their warm-up suits, and they're all in matching uniforms and all that. And they go out there, and when they warm up, they look like they are preparing for an Olympic trial. So mentally, they're already like, oh my goodness. And then when the first girl took off, I don't remember who ran the first leg of our relay or anything like that. I just know that by the time they got around the first turn, that other kid was halfway done. They were that good. But they did everything they were supposed to. They did everything right. They worked as hard as they could. They ran as fast as they could. They didn't mess up handing off that baton. And in the end, for them, it was a good race. They knew that they were beat, but that did not stop them from doing their best and running the race. The big thing, whether or not it would have made a tremendous amount of difference, probably not, was the fact that Coach Stewart wasn't able to be there. He probably could have at least helped them get over the one hurdle of that mental aspect of everything and helping them, keeping them focused on where they were going. Now, I say where they're going, they're just going around in a circle on a track. But what is their purpose? What is the reason why they're running? And to know, first and foremost, anytime you do something like that, have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. What is the purpose of any game? To have fun. And oftentimes we lose sight of that. So as I was thinking about Moses and Joshua and that transition, I also started thinking about a gentleman named Dr. Warren Bennis. He is a professor of management at the School of Business at the University of Southern California. He did a 4-year study on what it takes to be or to become an outstanding leader. And what he discovered are the 5 strengths, and I'm going to add one to it, but he came up with 5 strengths of a good leader. And the first of it is vision. Vision is the capacity to create and compel vision for a desired state of affairs. In other words, it's not what we want now, though that is important, but where do we want to be? What is our goal? Where are we heading? And how do we foresee ourselves getting to that place in order to achieve that vision? Now, the thing is once you get to that vision, let's think about the people of Israel. Once they got to the promised land, was it over with? No, there was still much work to do. For 40 years, they wandered in the desert. Moses led them, he got them to the River Jordan, and now it's time for them to cross over. Once they got into the land, there was actually more work to do. So that vision process of getting to where you want to be, to that state of affairs that you want, is not just get there and be done. It's also an understanding that once you get there, what is next? And a good leader has the capacity to be able to get you to that point. The other thing is communication. The capacity to communicate the vision in a way that gains support. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. I don't know if I mentioned this to you the last time I was with you all in any of my sermons, but in college, and Ken Elkins and I are both graduates of East Tennessee State, go Buccaneers, and my speech professor there said that there are three fallacies when it comes to communication. He said they're based on assumptions. And the first assumption is this, that everything that is said is heard. We assume everything that we say is heard. I can tell you right now, my wife Pam knows that when the TV is on, there is no assuming that I've heard anything that she has said. That's why on occasion she will sit there and just look over at me and go, "What did I just say?" Gentlemen, any of y'all relate to that? The second assumption is that whatever is said or whatever is heard is understood. Again, it's that thing of we can hear a lot, but oftentimes what we translate out of it is not specifically what was being communicated to us. And a lot of times I've noticed this, especially if they're anxious about something and someone has a two-part statement, you will gravitate to that one half of the statement that most affects you, at least in your mind. And you will completely push the other part to the side, which might have actually been more important than the part you gravitated to. So the assumption that everything is heard is understood. And then finally, the third assumption is this, that everything that is understood is accepted. That once you get to the point that you understand what the person is saying to you, that you're actually going to be able to say, "Yes, I agree with this, and I'm with you." And so what Bennis is saying is that a good communication process for a leader is one where he can get through those assumptions and help everybody be on board with what this vision is. And then third, he talks about persistence, the capacity to maintain the direction, especially when things get tough. Every one of us knows, just like that one song, we're going to come up against trials, temptations, and everything else in the process of life. Are we going to have the capacity to be able to go through those trials and temptations, understand and knowing that God is the one who goes before us and has already set a path for us to be able to make it through to the other side? To be persistent and to help others be persistent is the only way you can finally make it to that other side. If you can't get people to move and to help to adjust, failure is always an option. I also think that you have to remember that Moses, during his tenure as leader there, let's think about what he went through. He went up on the mountain, he came back down, and they had a golden calf. There was no water. There was no food. God has these people out here, his chosen people, and they're grumbling against Moses. "Why did you bring us out here to die?" God provides manna. He provided meat. He provided water out of a rock. Why? Because Moses knew God was faithful. God was faithful, and so Moses knew to be persistent in that faithfulness of God would get them where they needed to be. People are stiff-necked, as the Bible puts it. Aren't we all? We like our place. We like our place of comfort. But to find that movement towards a place of vision, where it's a better place of being, we have to help others get out of that and be persistent in the movement of it. The Apostle Paul is the one that says that through tribulation brings perseverance, or persistence, and that is what gives us true character. The fourth thing is empowerment. Empowerment is the capacity to create a structure that harnesses the energy and the ability of others. You see, it's one thing to rely on the different gifts and talents of whoever is the leader or the head of the organization, especially in the life of the church, to rely on their gifts and graces. But the reality of it is each and every one of you has a gift and grace that is specific that the Holy Spirit has manifested and nurtured in you so that you have the capacity to do a great many things. The power or the empowerment of a good leader is to help draw that out from you or to show you how to best use that so that you can reach the goals of the vision that's been set forth. Every one of you has a gift. Every one of you. Some of you sitting in those pews today actually are great teachers. Some of you are great at communicating with people in ways that others can't because you can relate to them in a special sense. Some of you are preachers. I can tell you right now, when the first time I ever had a pastor look at me and said, "Have you ever thought about preaching?" The first thing I said is, "No." But each one of you has that gift, and a good leader has the ability to help draw those gifts out and to empower you to use and utilize them for the giftedness of the community which you serve and the faith community where you're located. I always think about the ministry of this church. I know that food pantry has touched many, many lives. I've mentioned this before in the previous times I'm here, and I know, seeing how it is operated, the difference it makes in the community. And that's because of the giftedness of this faith community here at Bethany. And my prayer is you continue to do that. The other one Bennis mentions, is organizational learning. Now, that is the ability to monitor performance and to learn from past actions, to have the knowledge on how to forge ahead. Simply put, experience is the best teacher. Experience, when you come up against something and you figure out how to either get around it, go over it, or through it, it's what's going to teach you the next time you come up against a specific obstacle on how you're going to be able to forge ahead. Winston Churchill said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." For 40 years, those people were wandering in the desert. For 40 years, Moses had to lead them. For 40 years, Joshua learned the process and how to lead those people and to prepare for when they crossed over at that moment into the promised land. Moses knew that God had given him a task of getting those chosen people to that promised land. Now, one of the things that I feel like is also important that Bennis doesn't touch on, but I think especially in the life of the church, that one of the characteristics or strengths that is important for any leader, pastor, administrative, Sunday school, whatever, I think one of the greater strengths for any of us is humility. It's an understanding that God is the one who gives us all these gifts, and that our pridefulness, our arrogance, and all of those things mean nothing except they bring us to a fall. As the old saying goes, pride goeth before the fall. But to be humble and understanding that God has given us an opportunity to be able to lead, to be able to share, to be able to be compassionate, that's what makes a difference in a church. And that's what makes a difference for a church in a community. Now, we're at this moment in Deuteronomy where the people are anxious. Moses the 40-year leader, is getting ready to leave. He's not able to cross over that Jordan. But he reminds them that God is the one who goes before. Have you ever thought that whenever you, as a church, began to work on a new ministry or a new opportunity, that God has already set wheels in motion that you weren't even aware of? And that as you got to different points in preparing and working out the plan for that ministry, things just continue to fall right in place? Yeah, you might have had a few hiccups along the way, but they were easily overcome. Why? Because God has already made it possible. I always think about this. Whenever you have the opportunity to minister to a person and you yourself feel anxious about it because you don't think you have the words to say or anything like that, God's Spirit will begin giving you thoughts and words that you yourself would probably never have used. Why? Because God was preparing you for that moment as God prepared that person for your interaction. God goes before us in everything. Be strong and courageous. Okay? Julie, you don't have to lift the weights. But you can. It's a good exercise. There is that thing, though, that Paul says we do have to work out our salvation. We have to work out our faith. And that's a part of that in growing in that strength and in that courage. So at this moment now, Moses turns to Joshua in order to encourage him and to remind him that God is not going to forsake him. God was not going to sit there and say, well, Moses got you here, Joshua. It's all up to you now. Moses is saying to Joshua, God got us here, and God's going to get us over there, and God's going to take care of everything that we need to do, that you need to do, to get these people where they need to be. One of the things that I'm always taken by is that whether it be Moses or Joshua or any other leaders that God has raised up for Israel, each of them continued to remind the people that God was always with them. Even when you look at the prophets, they're always reminding them that God has been with them. They always remind them of what God did when they brought their ancestors out of Egypt in those 40 years of wandering in the desert. God, the giver of the covenant, continues to bless, strengthen, and provide. And friends, here at this Church of Bethany, God will continue to bless, strengthen, and provide. Because God's vision is the one that will always get you where you need to be. Now, Jesus, the one who gave the disciples that great commission, some years prior to that, those same disciples had the difficulty in understanding what Jesus was saying when he had to die. Not only that, but that he was going to the Father. But he wasn't leaving them orphans. He was going to give them the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. So even when Jesus was not with his disciples, he encouraged them and reminded them that God was not ever going to forsake them. God was going to give them even something to move them, inspire them. Paul, in his letters to Timothy and to Titus, reminds them of all that they had learned, not just from him, but for Timothy, from his mother and his grandmother. And though he could not be with them, he would continue to pray and he would continue to share that hopefulness in his letters and his words of encouragement and work to continue so that they would live into that vision of preaching and teaching and making disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, because next Sunday, a new shepherd is coming in and is going to be standing where I am. Just as Pastor Susan has, just as pastors in the past. Now, the reason why I chose this idea of the relay race is because sometimes we have this image of just passing a baton and that's all there is to it, but that's not the case. Sometimes it feels like You're just being handed off to somebody else. And that can be difficult. And again, for some of you folks who have been members of this congregation or other Methodist churches, and it's not just in the Methodist church. I can tell you I have pastor friends in other denominations, and we talk about the difficulty of when pastoral leadership takes place. But we also talk about how God has already been at work to make those transitions more fruitful and a blessing to others. So I prefer not to see this whole itinerant system and the changing of clergy as a passing of a baton, as just handing something off. It's a handing on. It's a handing on of a pastor with a congregation, but it's also a handing on for a congregation with a pastor. Because you have a continuing opportunity as well, just as that pastor has with you. Now, here's the truth of it. Congregations, as well as pastors, are good, not so good, indifferent, whatever. You work for the things that you know God is calling you to do. A church or a pastor is not an object to just be passed off, handed off. Because one of the most negative connotations of that is we're just handing off a problem. And there's a saying, there's no problems, it's opportunities. You as a congregation have a tremendous opportunity to help a pastor to continue to grow in their strengths, okay? To develop and nurture new ones as they help you grow in your strengths and find new opportunities to minister in this community, to make a difference up and down Route 11 and even beyond. You have leaders in your congregation who have gifts and graces. And as a congregation, you need to join together so that those gifts can continue to grow and prosper, to make a difference for you as a church faith community and for the community at large. You are consistent in this process. When Joshua took the reins of leadership from Moses, he still had that one vision, that promised land. And when they crossed over that water, God made that river stop flowing so all those people could cross over on dry land, just as they had crossed the Red Sea. They walked around the walls of that city of Jericho, and those walls fell. My friends, there is nothing that you cannot achieve if you nurture within yourself as a whole community those opportunities for leadership to make a difference. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." My prayer for each and every one of you is that you will allow that future and hope to well up inside of you, and the blessings that God brings to Bethany United Methodist Church will continue to be the blessings that are shared throughout this community. Amen and amen.
Looks like I might have a shadow this morning.
sky.
For a second, I wasn't sure if she was going to go ahead and get down and start doing a little dance, because that would have been really cool.
Probably would.
Yeah. All right. We have the opportunity now to, of course, we don't pass the plate. The offering plate is there out in the vestibule narthex area. And hopefully you have continued to bring your tithes and offerings, for they are the blessings that you give to make this ministry continue to be vital and growing. So let us have a prayer for the offerings this day. Holy God, we just give you thanks again that we can come and gather here as your people, and that as we go through our daily lives, you shower us with so many blessings. And yes, sometimes those blessings, just as the song says, might be the rain, might be the tears. But in each one is an opportunity to grow and to know you better, to be known as we are known. And so, Lord God, we just thank you that we may give a portion of these blessings in a monetary way and through the work that we do to further your kingdom and to continue to make known the love of Jesus Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. For all this we pray in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. We have an opportunity to lift up joys and concerns. So what joys do we have today? What things have taken place that you'd like to make the congregation and those at home? What opportunities, what blessings have you seen? Yes.
I want to thank everyone for the prayers we asked for last week. Our four-year-old grandson's bone is healed. He didn't have to have his fourth cast put on. Our Our 12-year-old grandson just had fluid on his hips, and he is fine. He's back to normal. It's your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Others?
Pastor Russell. For those who might not know, Danny Martlock and Wesley got married this past Thursday morning, and they're off on their honeymoon.
Amen. All right. Others? What about any concerns? What situations does the community need to be aware of, individuals or others? And first and foremost, I know that you all are aware of the situation taking place down in Florida where they are still searching for individuals in that apartment building complex. So continue prayers for the workers, for the families that are still waiting to hear words of any sort of hope. So continue prayers for that. Other concerns? Yes?
I still request prayers for my daughter Michelle, my nephew Scott, and a friend of mine in Oklahoma City, Patricia. She has been put in an induced coma, and so hopefully they're going to take her out of it today. My prayers are going to go over there.
Okay. You said Tricia?
Patricia.
Patricia. Okay. All right. Yes.
So some of y'all may know I live over in Missouri now, and the small town that I reside in just got hit with really, really bad storms. A tornado came through. And I know my mother-in-law's basement is completely flooded up to their hips, and I know the entire town is really suffering through that right now. So just if I could have prayers all the way here in Virginia for my small town over in Missouri. Quick recovery and rebuilding of a lot of buildings.
Okay. Thank you. Any others? Yeah.
Most of you know that Dylan's in the Army, and except Friday, he lost another brother to suicide. So just keep, active military. If you're away from your family, you're not your normal self. So that's four people in 4 years that he's getting.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? With that, let us go again to the Lord God. Again, Lord, we thank you and praise you for all of your blessings, for all the gifts that you bestow upon us. And Lord, we know that when your people pray, especially when we come together and anoint one another, those prayers are answered. Healing does take place. And though it does not always happen in the manner in which we would hope, we know that you have something greater in store. And through all these things, we pray you would be glorified. We thank you for the joining together of couples in marriage. And we just pray your blessing upon this new couple as they go through their journey of life together. But Lord, we also know there are many needs. And as we think about not just our community here, but our neighbors who are farther away, for families and friends of those who are still lost in that apartment complex collapse, as they wait with anxiety to just hear a word, as those workers, and many of them are coming in from now from around the world, we pray for their hearts and minds as they go through this work, because oftentimes they are the people who are called in many of these disasters. We pray for the people of the Midwest, for those communities that have been hit hard by storms and tornadoes. We pray for our military, those who have served, as we are still gaining deeper understanding about PTSD and the trauma that takes place, for the families as they go through that time of separation, and for those men and women who are separated. We pray that you'll continue to be with Michelle and Scott and Patricia, and Lord God, for all those that we lift up in our hearts who have not been mentioned, and for those concerns that are so deep, but your Spirit has already been praying and uttering words for us. So, Lord God, may we in every way give you the glory and praise to your Son, our Savior, who is the one who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Faith and Dale, I want to thank you all again. Wow. What a blessing that song was. Faith, thank you so much. A few announcements. This is exciting. Our Young at Hearts, is this the first time, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, first time since COVID. They're going to be meeting on Tuesday, August the 3rd at noon for lunch at the Thomas House in Dayton. So you need to contact Carolyn Swartz, and her phone number was in the happenings, so she'll know how many to expect. So, wow, what a praise that is, that they're getting together again. So come out for that. This has been in quite a bit. The trustees are still in need of volunteers for the month of August and September. So maybe you don't feel like you can take the full month. Could you do 2 weeks? Could you do 1 week? So contact Cindy in the office so that she can let the trustees know, but we need those 2 months, and we thank you for the faithfulness of those who have been mowing. And Stanley, I know you've been mowing in June, haven't you? And it's just been wonderful. So thanks for folks for doing that. There's going to be a church council meeting, the first one with our new pastor, Dan, on July 13th, so hope that all the church leaders will come out for that. And next Sunday will be his first Sunday, and so, since it's a holiday Sunday, we're not going to do our usual Bethany food next Sunday. We will do it the Sunday after that on the 11th. So just be praying for Pastor Dan, and also be praying for Pastor Susan as they are making this transition. Okay, great. Well, let's stand for our last hymn, another wonderful hymn of faith. Number 98 in the hymnal, if you want to pull that out, it is "To God Be the Glory."
Life and
land where we may not always know where we're going, and to a people we have not known, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to make known the blessings and goodness of God, and to be the instruments of grace that God has called us to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.